This is Maria with The Why, from Success to Startup Show, bringing you the whys of entrepreneurship on KLOS 95.5 FM HD3, SoCalArmenian.com. Hello, welcome to Startup to Success. My guest today is Mindy Barnett, founder of MBN Associates Public Relations. After 10 years working as a television news reporter and anchor with the Philadelphia and the New York regions, among other cities, Mindy Barnett decided to use her knowledge and experience in the media to help propel businesses and position companies as thought leaders. Mindy, I am so excited to have you on the show.
I'm so excited to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
I'll tell you all the reasons later. But before we begin, I just want to start off with, what was the why behind starting MBN Associates Public Relations? What was the inspiration?
All right, this is an honest answer, Maria. I honestly come from a family of educators, okay? And, you know, steady paycheck, pension, all of the above. And as you mentioned in the intro, and I appreciate you saying all you did, I was in television news. So with that comes the corporate paycheck too. Like, and I say that because entrepreneurism isn't necessarily that, right? We have to hopefully get to that point and then some, but it's a lot of blood, sweat, and tears to get to that point. So I did not seek out to be an entrepreneur. I sought out to be a newscaster and eventually a public relations professional, which I still am today, but I did not seek out to do the entrepreneur track. That truly came out of default. I was working for not the best culture, let's say, like very like ill, unhealthy environment that was very negative and not healthy for me mentally for a short period of time after I left television news and resigned with really nothing to turn to. I was doing some freelance work in TV in Philadelphia, but that wasn't steady and really was just dumb luck. I was shopping in a boutique and the owner of the store needed a public relations person. And I'm obviously skipping a lot of details, but just cutting to the chase. And we worked out a situation where I was going to help her. She was going to help me. I was going to help her kind of thing for a very short period of time. So I thought until I got back into TV news on a full-time basis. And, you know, that just turned into MBN Associates. It didn't start off that way. For 6 months, you know, I organically grew my now business, but I didn't really have a proper business set up. People were just writing me checks out to me. I was still sending out resume reels and things to TV outlets and things like that. And it really wasn't until I actually got a TV position offer, maybe like about 5.5 into having this, whatever you want to call it, business set up with now 5 clients. And my boyfriend at the time was dumbfounded when he heard I was considering just taking that job. I think for selfish reasons, he wanted me to stay in town. Mm-hmm. But he also said, how could you just abandon your business? Which was eye-opening to me because I never really thought it was a business. I mean, it was just sort of like paying my car note, paying rent, like going shopping, going on a bit, you know, like things like that. And said, you know what? You're right. I do. And so I felt very attached to my clients and I felt like I'd be abandoning them. So the why, to answer your question, wasn't like it was, like 6 months later, I can give you the why. It wasn't like I decided out of the gate that I wanted to do this. That was just that I liked having control of my life to some degree. Now, instead of one boss, I have 20, but but that's okay. And I also, I liked having like a hand in news and I liked having the creativity, but I also like having control of my life, as I said, where in news, you don't necessarily have that privilege. And I liked the notion and the opportunities that were like, you know, there was no limit to what you could achieve. If you're hardworking and you put your heart into whatever you're doing and all of the above, you know, the world is your oyster. It's such a cliche, you know, thing to say, but it's the truth, as opposed to, and there's nothing wrong with working in the corporate world, but what that was all I knew up until that point. And that is sort of like, you can go for promotions and change jobs and things like that, but you know, you don't have as much control of your destiny, and being an entrepreneur, you definitely do. So that's really what was my
why. That's pretty inspiring. I mean, it's not every day that people can say they just stumbled into their business. I mean, that's clearly what it was. Here you were with.
Yeah. It's like universe sort of has a plan and, you know, that's sort of the way I look at things sometimes in life.
Yeah, so. 5 paying clients, that's a legitimate business. Okay. That's really hard in our industry. I own a marketing agency too. And it's very hard. And to your point, you know, you have 20 bosses now because our clients are our bosses. But I think the fact that we can choose who our bosses are is such a blessing. And if it's, you know, I that's what I love about entrepreneurship, that I get to choose the clients that I work with. I'm very intuitive and I love meeting people in person so that I can feel their energy. And if I sense the wrong energy, I don't care how much money they have to spend in ad dollars and how much money I'm going to make. I just won't take them. I won't take them because
I agree. Sorry about that. And you can bring your dogs to work. That's another plus. No, but it's true. You know, it's funny. I had this conversation with my office manager earlier today because there's a client that is, you know, pays well, but real headache and all that. And I'm like, you know what? Like, if we can replace this client soon, I'm done with this. Like, it's not worth it. It's just like you can pick and choose what you choose to take on, you know, and the energy you bring into your office and all that. So, yeah, I agree with you.
No, definitely. Let's jump into what's one thing that you figured out that you think took your business to the next level.
Say that again.
What's one thing that you figured out in your business that took your business to the next level?
To the next level. It's a couple things. I was very lucky in the beginning, and I still am, knock wood, that I have a lot of people kind of finding me. I know that's very unique, and I don't take that for granted at all. I think for me, probably helped that I had a name sort of in this market. I'm in Philadelphia and also New York and LA now too. But when I started, I was in the Philly market only. And I have worked in TV news in Philadelphia for on and off 10 years. I'd lived in some other parts of the country too, in news and things like that. So I was very connected in the media world, and I had been on the air in Philadelphia for quite some time. So I had a sort of established name a little bit, which helped. But you know, it's also like that can only go so far, right? You have to put proof to the pudding. So like I over deliver. I always overdo more than the client expects. Into the office detriment too. But I think that sustained me and also established me, and people like respected my name and respected the company culture and, you know, deliverables and all of that. And unfortunately, a lot of public relations people have created sort of a bad rap for the industry overall, like bigger companies. I've heard this from a lot of my clients who've worked with much bigger agencies, and they're like, oh, they don't deliver anything, you're paying retainer, you don't know what you're getting, like all of that. And I guarantee placements, because I've always felt like people are making an investment into me. It's my duty as their publicist to serve them with something. Obviously, time and effort, and you're only as good as your pitch and all of that. But still, like, they want something for the retainer. They don't want to just feel like you're a law firm where they're buying hours all the time. So I think that's sort of what set me apart. But I think what really propelled me and the company was that notion and that mindset and the framework of just always over delivering and always over serving and making sure the client's always happy within reason. I mean, there's been some, you know, interesting clients over, we have the company almost 20 years now. So there's, you know, definitely some soured apples in the bunch, but you know, in general, most of my clients I'm blessed have been really good ones, and I'm happy to serve them, you know, and I care about them. Like they are my own, like I kind of look at their businesses as if they were my businesses. And I also think that helps too.
That's really awesome. That's how I look at my clients. I own a marketing agency, and we've been serving the tech startup industry where they get funded millions and they need to scale. And so we do a lot of scalable marketing, which is like podcast advertising, SiriusXM. It's expensive advertising too. You know, it's not cheap. And so I take their money as if it's mine. I'll just be like,
yeah,
I'll make sure that they get an ROI, something in return, you know,
yeah.
Not just like, obviously, you know, we can't guarantee anything, but I personally feel like if I were to spend $70,000 on a marketing campaign, on a podcast advertising campaign, I would expect to get at least 140,000 back, you know? And so we work towards that goal. And I think it pushes us to be better and just, I don't know. I agree. And I think to your point, there are so many people that ruin the reputation for the rest of us who are working to do what we do. But, you know, I try to educate the small businesses or my prospects to be selective and to know what to look for when they're selecting the right marketing agency, a PR agency. Obviously, I can't, I'm not an expert in that field, but I love that you are, I might want to talk to you after this. So, because we're in need.
I'm excited to have that chat. I agree. I think that, you know, your name is everything and first impressions are everything. And by that, I mean, like, not just first impression where you meet someone in the prospect meeting, but also your first, like, what you're bringing to the table. And you create one bad, you know, make a mistake or, you know, don't own it, or you create one bad, you know, relationship with someone because they don't feel like they're getting their money's worth or what you promised that you were able to deliver. And that spreads like a wildfire. Yeah. Like, that's worse than a good reputation, frankly. And so I would much rather have someone say, you know, I would rather work for free almost and have someone say something good about me than, you know, just feel like, okay, well, I did my due duty and they paid me and there's something more I can do, and then just walk away, you know? So,
So one thing that I see that's really different about you is the fact that you help the businesses position as thought leaders. That's pretty unique. Tell me a little bit more about that.
Sure. So just coming from the news, you know, my news mind and all of that, that's other side of the fence, as I often call it. I know what media is looking for, right, in a story. And they're not looking for commercial and they're not looking for something self-serving or anything like that. They want true and tried news you can use that they can offer to their listeners, their readers, their viewers, whatever the medium is, right? So I look at the client, I look at what they're able to speak to that's appropriate. Like, for argument's sake, I wouldn't pitch a plastic surgeon to speak to like cardiovascular disease for Heart Awareness Month or something like that, because that's not his lane. He's plastic surgery. But also, we have to be mindful that not everything in plastic surgery is appealing for a variety of different viewing audiences. So there's lots of different creative ways to kind of position him as a thought leader about trends and things like that. I'm just giving you that as an example, but it could be anything. It could be finance, it could be a chef, it could be whatever. So we look for information that would be compelling based on what the season is or what's making headlines or, you know, what's trending in the newspaper or what maybe a celebrity may have done recently. I'm trying to think of a quick, it's a kind of morbid example, but it's a strong example, is the unfortunate, to say the least, tragedies that occurred last week and the week before with the mass shootings, and not getting into all of the nitty gritty and politics about that, just sticking to that topic. We actually represent a few like psychotherapists in our practice, and we were pitching them to speak to trauma, and not just for obviously the immediate families, but for the country, like what this means to our United States, you know, the country, the United States, and people watching at home. And then there was one that specializes more in parenting. So we spoke to how to talk to your kids and, you know, how to like offering tips or how to ease anxiety. Another therapist did. That's just that space. I mean, we also represent, for argument's sake, a financial guy, and like on a fluffier note, well, not necessarily fluffier, but like lighter, not exactly fluffy when you hear what the topic was, but the gas prices like just skyrocketing. Like, so he was speaking about that, what we can look to as the summer months go on and if it's coming down anytime soon, and also like tips about saving money if you're going on a road trip and so forth. So that's the kind of stuff. So we're just all the while the person's being branded as an expert, their business is being plugged, they're being like, it's an SEO boost, certainly. And like, you know, they may or may not get clients that moment that they're on the air or they're in an article, but more time out of nuns, more times out of like, so slowly but surely is what I'm trying to say. People were going to remember their name. They're going to remember the experts. Right. Maybe they saw them somewhere or whatever. Maybe. And when they're in the market for something, they'll think to them. And they also, it's much more credible than say ad or whatever, because they're being positioned.
I was going to say that it's credibility, you know?
Right. Right.
Credibility that counts nowadays more than anything else.
Yep.
It's just so noisy out there. It's so noisy. It's so hard to differentiate yourself from as a business, you know. And I own a small health and wellness brand, and it's interesting that you said thought leaders. Like and as a marketer, I was just like, okay, this is gonna be easy. I do this all day for my clients, but I own a CBD brand, and it was just challenging. But, you know, mm-hmm. CBD is not allowed anywhere to be advertised, and mm-hmm. and everything I wanted to do, I was being blocked, and I was just so frustrated. And I had to think outside mm-hmm. of the box as, okay, well, how do I share my story? How do I share the reason why I started the business? Why, mm-hmm. you know? And then I started including doctors and doing workshops and educating people, you know? And so mm-hmm. yes, it's much harder to invest that time and effort and educate, but it added credibility and it added trust and for people to know that we work with doctors and that doctors are, you know, part of our network. And it's just, it definitely helped elevate our business to a whole different level, I would say.
That's great. Yeah. I agree with everything you're saying, obviously. So yeah.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit about your books. I can't wait to hear all about
it. Yeah, I'm very excited and proud of it. Thank you. Yeah. So it's my second book. My first book's actually called Intermission. And that was a memoir about finding courage to make change and make a pivot, so to speak. I write a lot about my divorce, but I use that as an example of just going through the motions of making a choice and then also embracing that intermission, that pause between act one and act two, so that you're not pouncing into the next thing, sort of with both feet in and not giving it your full like heart and soul, so to speak. So that's that book. This book is called You Don't Need to Be a Bitch to Be a Boss. And essentially the meat and potatoes of the book, it's part memoir, and I have some really juicy stories in there. It's also part, you know, science and interviews and like, you know, data and things like that about the importance of leading a team or leading yourself or leading life, so to speak, with empathy. It couldn't have come at a better time, you know, dealing with the still unfortunate great resignation that we're dealing with, right? With people resigning from their positions and things like that. They're looking for more than a great paycheck, even though that's certainly something that's desired. You're also looking for a really solid and empathetic work culture. So my book is a really good guide to kind of enabling people and giving them the skill set to be able to do that, but also so that they're not a pushover. Because I think that's like the fine line. A lot of bosses and just people in general are worried if they come off too soft, then they're going to look like they're weak, but that's not necessarily the case. And I have a lot of different, you know, it's 10 chapters, and each chapter is like a story, some information. And at the end of each chapter, I call it bitch bullets. And it's like basically like some actionable immediate things that you can implement into your life and into your workplace like today. And, you know, reasons behind all of that. So it's, I think, a really good read. It's gotten really good feedback. I'm actually coming out your neck of the woods next week. Okay. Not sure when this airing, but I've been doing a book tour periodically. So the book came out in October of 2021. I'm like, what year are we in now? That's how my life.
I know.
But anyway, and you know, every so often, like every month, I'm trying to do some sort of like book event. I'm going to probably be doing like a college tour in the fall as well. So
I was going to say that a lot of startups could definitely use.
Yes. It's great for like our entrepreneurs that are just starting out, or even just people that have been in business for a really long time that are sort of set in their ways. And also the notion of why women feel as though they need to be bitchy to be, you know, taken seriously. It's sort of the opposite of that bitch boss mindset books that there's like a bunch of books that have come out and that explaining why you need to be bitchy. Mine's the opposite.
Well, I think my struggle has been, how am I a little bit more bitchy? Like, that's, what do you say about that when people are too nice?
It's hard. You know, I think there's a lot of reasons why women, I actually just did a talk about this in New York about a month ago. There's a lot of reasons why women feel that they need to come off that way. I mean, first of all, like the higher up you go in corporate world, I'm talking about, there's less seats at the proverbial table for women. So women are looking over their shoulder, competing with one another, when the reality is, and science proves it, that we get so much further when we collaborate with one another, you know? Maybe, you know, even if you're up for the same position, you don't necessarily have to be cutthroat, hardcore, like slash your neck kind of situation. It's better to be, you know, supportive of one another, because you never know when that's going to turn around and be helpful to you later on in life if you don't want to just do it because you're trying to do the quote right thing. There's, and then the other is just like from years and years and years and years ago, you know, just competing for the strongest man and things like that when we were you're not in the workforce. But there's a lot of science that shows that while men may get ahead more from like networking, say on the golf course or, you know, at a networking event or something like that. Sorry, I had a little fuzz flew into my eye. Women tend to do better when they're in smaller groups. And there's a lot of positive reasons why you should essentially befriend folks in the same industry where you may view them as competition. The reality is you can be collaborative with them. I have a lot of women that I work with in a collaborative way in PR. Like they have other firms that on paper would look like they compete with mine. I guess in reality, they may very well compete with me, but you know, we help each other. We share sources, we share pitch ideas. We, you know, not every single day, but we do that on a regular basis. And we also meet up in person for coffee and drinks and things like that. And, you know, it's been a really wonderful source and also a source for new business. I've referred clients that I weren't able to take on because they don't represent more than say one in an industry in the region. You know, but they were looking for PR. And so I've referred them to some of my colleagues and vice versa for them. So it's been really, really beneficial.
Stay tuned. We'll be right back on KLOS 95.5 FM HD3, SoCalArmenian.com.